opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Join us this year for the 18th.
Good evening, Northern California. How's it going? It's Wednesday, November 30th. Got that right?
Yeah, you did. Good job.
And it's cold outside.
I'm loving it. Guess what I'm on? I'm cruising on my electric scooter.
Oh. In my torch. I was thinking about something else.
Oh, yeah. No. Sorry. Yep. No, I'm just a little on caffeine.
Yep. It's 49 degrees, mate.
Yeah.
It's a little chilly.
That's woolly mammoth weather, and that's why I'm doing good.
So it's been an interesting season.
Yeah. And the season's not over. It just keeps giving.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's been an interesting year, I would say, for Shasta County and Redding. And so we have a new slate of peeps who just, some of them won their re-election.
Uh-huh.
We have a whole bunch of new ones coming in. I think Mike DeCristo. He regained his seat on Redding City Council.
Okay.
We have Tanessa.
Mm, she's new.
She's the new one.
Yep.
And Munns. Is that correct?
Never had a conversation with Munns. Mm-hmm. Got to meet Tanessa and talk to her for a while.
And then we have the Shasta County ones. That was kind of interesting, the supervisors.
Board of Supervisors, yep.
So District 5, that was kind of a rumble, a little bit of a rumble. Chris Kellstrom won that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have District 1. District 1 was interesting. And we have Kevin Cry with us who won.
When was that officially, what do you call it, certified or whatever?
It'll be certified tomorrow,
okay.
I believe. And then, but it was made official, I think, around 1 o'clock yesterday.
Okay.
I think it published, the final results published to the website. At about 12:30.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So knowing what you know now.
Supervisor-elect.
I have to say, though, I don't understand. I just don't understand it. But the whole thing is that it used to be, you know, you would watch the time zones and countries and across the time zones through the country and polls close and precincts reporting and you could stay up late and da-da-da-da. And, you know, you pretty much knew where you were at before you went bed late that night through California. You knew Hawaii was there, but there wasn't going to be much coming, right? And we were like, ta-da, done the next morning. And so election day has now turned into, it seems like, election months. I mean,
it's like Hanukkah or Ramadan and, or something. You know, it's a period of time. Now.
And how is it, and so my bitch is, how is it?
Oh,
sorry.
7 seconds.
No. That's not a dirty word. The context. That
it's was a female dog is what you were
a
saying?
A complaint. Yes. Right. Sorry if anybody was offended, but that was a complaint. That's the word in a complaint.
And that was
not
James,
a,
not Kevin.
My complaint would be is with today's technology and everything that we've got going on as a civilization, you know, why is it that it's becoming harder and harder to hold an election?
And get
answers that you can, in your soul, kind of
James
understand
is on his soapbox right
and
now.
Believe.
Yeah, I see that.
Right? And
yeah,
believe.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, you look at Arizona right now, you look at Georgia, you look, I mean, runoffs and recounts, and it's absurd.
What James is saying is in the next election cycle, he's running.
No,
I like it.
No. But even here in Shasta County, like,
yeah,
what was the thing? Like, how hard is it? Our county has how many? 100,000 plus people?
Yeah, about 112.
Like
and how many voted?
Yeah, 60-something thousand, 70,000.
And that's a crime in itself.
Well, yeah. Well, Shasta County is like 100. I think it's 111,000 registered voters. Has more obviously citizens, but I think the big thing that I've gleaned out of this, among things, there is a lot of great people that work down at that office.
Oh, for sure.
I know.
No disrespect to those hard.
Correct.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of. I mean, California doesn't make the process easier. So I think what really needs to be done, and I think this needs to be done across all government, is getting back to trust and getting back to people believing in the system and believing what we have as a republic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why voter turnout is going to continue to go down, is because more and more people believe their vote doesn't count, their voice doesn't matter, they're not going to be heard. And I'll tell you, I came across at least 90 of those in the last 30 days, and my final vote margin was 90 votes. I can tell you that I think when that process is improved, we'll see a lot better turnout across all parties, whether it be, you know, far right, far left, independent, in the middle, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I think more people will get involved and want to be involved when they think it really, really matters. So I think there's a lot to look into there, but I think it really starts at a lot of state level. I mean, it's crazy because the reason it takes a long time, among things, is comparing signatures and making sure that the ballot that's being turned in is by an actual registered voter. You know, because it would be really difficult to show like something with your picture on it, right? I mean, like, you know, so the amount of work that goes into verifying signatures and matching it up with addresses, and it's a lot. And yeah. I think if there's anything that can be done, I would be all for that. Because as a candidate, I mean, I was a candidate, and to go through that process as a candidate and still, like, and everybody down there, Kathy and Joanna and Mary and just the whole staff, John, they answered questions. They were great. They were very informative. But still, like, I still had questions, still have some questions. Mm-hmm. So where does that leave just Joe Blow or Jane Doe public trying to figure out all that stuff? And it doesn't make people really excited to go out and vote.
And not to gobble up the whole half of the first part of the show, but the question would to
yeah,
me
we,
would be,
I was promised we were going to talk about toys and stuff for Christmas, but okay.
Well, last week we had the fart ping, yeah. fart pens. That was
yeah, that was fun. Why do you think as do you think most voters in this country now? Obviously, we have the far left and the far right. Do you think most voters would be consider themselves in the center?
You know, I couldn't – one thing I've learned is I'm not going to speak for anybody that I haven't talked to or that I know personally or I live with.
Yeah.
But I think there's – I mean, I think I'm a perfect example of really what makes our country and our republic great. I mean, I went to a meeting, didn't agree with the incumbent's decision on one matter, was frustrated enough that said, I'm going to run. And now – you know,
there you are.
13 months later.
Not really knowing what you were saying at the time.
And now, you know, today I was meeting with the county, you know, CEO. I was meeting with department heads. And, you know, this is 13 months.
Yeah.
And there are people that labor away in positions on school boards, city councils, whatever, to gear up to run for a supervisor position. And I've never been on a school board, never been on a nonprofit board, never been I've had no interest in formal politics. I've had interest with making people's lives around me better.
Yeah. So we're kind of seeing this. I kind of pay attention to the global thing and then the nationwide thing. So we're definitely seeing this nationwide in America that many, many quote-unquote regular people decided to run for office, and many of them won.
I think people are just fed up. I mean, I think, like, to me...
Reason why I asked the question about the center is, like, I'm still just baffled how we have considered... I mean, how we've continued to have predominantly a two-party system in this country where, like, the independent or the people that, you know, that the masses that are frustrated with their parties, which... I am with both sides, not doing their jobs, not doing them well, not really truly telling the truth. Why haven't the masses moved to a center and given somebody else an opportunity to show?
Yeah, I think people are starting – I will say this. I can't say where people were a year ago, but I can say what I've learned in the year for myself. And as I look at the results as they come in, whether it's precincts or you know, entire regions, whatever, but you look, you're not seeing – you know, everything red in terms of everybody who voted just, you know, I just voted Republican down the ballot, right? I voted Democrat. You're seeing people that definitely had some crossovers.
Sure.
And I think that's good.
Yeah.
Because
there's a lot of pink.
Well, I think it's important when people start actually putting, you know, policy above politics and they start saying like, hey, I really believe what this person stands for. Like, hey, I don't like this part. They compromise here, but I really can get on board with these other things. There's going to be non-negotiables for every candidate that people just, but I think a lot of people are just really, the ones that are engaged, I think are really becoming more and more engaged. And for me, I want to try and see as many people as I know And there was already a gentleman that ran for Shasta Union High School District because I ran. Mm. I saw him on the ballot, Mike Doran. Mm. When I got my ballot, you know, the one they mail everybody, mm-hmm. I called him up and I hadn't talked to him in probably 10 years and said, "Hey, Mike, I see you're on the ballot. You're running. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Do you put signs? I didn't know you're running." And he said, "Well, no." I said, "Well, I'm proud of you, man. Thanks." And he goes, "No, I'm running because you ran in the primary." And he goes, "Well, if Kevin's going to run, I'm going to run because right. I know how you used to feel about politics." Uh-huh. And he wound up winning.
Well, you know, awesome. Actually an official blood sport. This is end of the first break, and we're going to take a 2-minute break, and we'll be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back. Good evening, Northern California. This is Nigel and James, and we have Kevin Cry with us.
Sorry, I hijacked the first part of the show.
That's okay. That's okay. At least you have something to say.
Ah, well.
See, I've always said, as long as you have something to say and you're in the arena, that's all it matters.
It's a little soapbox.
Right. There you go. Not big. So Kevin Cry, supervisor-elect, Shasta County District 1.
Yes.
So knowing what you know now, would you pick politics or, full contact wrestling?
Eating glass.
Eating glass.
I think a lot of this for me is about the outcomes I know that we're going to accomplish and the people that we're going to help accomplish it for.
But this being the first time that you actually ran, just like many others around the country, this is probably the first time you actually paid attention to what's going on locally and you decide to run, and next thing you know, you automatically buy, and this is what I think is frustrating, because you talk about red versus blue, and, in some circles we call them the red cage and blue cage, because they're actually cages. But, the moment you throw your hat in the ring, without people even knowing you, you have 50% who like you, and 50% who automatically hate you.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you automatically have new best friends and new enemies.
And everything you're taught in your life growing up about not judging a book by its cover and that stuff. It just goes right out the window. I mean, people look at you and have an opinion, and you're just like, it's amazing.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
adults, we still do that.
Yeah, I coached high school sports for a long time, so I was an Anderson grad, coach at Anderson High School. Well, you just innately hated West Valley.
Yeah.
And then when I coached at Shasta, you just automatically hated Enterprise.
Yeah.
And that's just, I'm used to that kind of, that mentality.
Uh-huh.
But this was, that's what I'm excited about, I think, is winning those people over that probably didn't know me.
You could say that.
And I get 4 years to show them.
Yep.
And you know, that's great. I mean, that and I love that challenge. I love what's ahead for that. But
and as an adult, I have realized recently. I mean, I probably had the mindset. It just, you know, not even truly that long ago that, you know, people get stuck in what they think and believe, right? It's very hard to change people's minds, right? But I've recently had my mind changed several times on things and realized you can still learn new things.
Oh, yeah.
Change your thinking.
I'm not going to judge what I do or how I live or how I do things as a supervisor based on other people's like opinions. There's going to be some people that are just going to be unhappy regardless.
Yeah.
You know, and
those usually are people that are unhappy.
Yeah.
And everything.
Yeah. And so for me, you know, I'm going to do what I do. Like today I was down at, like I said, at the county office. I took two individuals down there who I've met at Martin Luther King Park. I've been going there, since late June with, a couple, ladies that have been, and Jerry. And anyway, I won't use their names cause they like to fly under the radar as much as they can, but, they've been out there, helping individuals, basically feeding them.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started going in June, it was helping feed them. And then Councilman Mark Mazzano started coming out in July. And I stopped taking food because I felt like feeding them wasn't, I think I felt like it was just until the next Saturday or until they went to the next thing on a Monday for mm-hmm. food. And I really just sunk my teeth into what are the barriers for employment? What are the barriers for housing? How can I help? Well, I offer jobs, opportunities to, I'm not going to say hundreds mm-hmm. of individuals, but easy 100, mm-hmm. 100 people between today and mid, late June when I started going. Well, two people took me up on helping them, and I've been helping them about the last 5 weeks, one person for a week, the other person for 5 weeks. And mm-hmm. I told them, I said, hey, if I get elected, we're gonna figure this out. Mm-hmm. And I tried to help them as much as I could. Mm-hmm. But so I get, you know, I got the phone call yesterday that I'm supervisor-elect. I call Laura Birch this morning, and I'm in her office with some of her, you know, top execs or staff. And those two individuals will probably have housing within a week.
Mm.
And that's what it's about for me, is just understanding the process of the people that really want to get help.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to help them get that help? And the people that don't want it, like, there's got to be another path, because you can't sleep on sidewalks. Mm-hmm. You just can't do that.
And again, no disrespect to human beings, but I'm glad you're saying that, because it's true. Just because you've chosen to be homeless doesn't mean you get to dirty up the rest of the world.
Not even just that. I think it's inhumane to be sleeping outside when it's 30 degrees anyway.
Well, of course.
Yeah, you know, I mean, just, you know,
you're a human being, a living
absolutely.
Life.
Absolutely.
But, yeah. But, you know, I mean,
my store, yep.
There are people there almost every single night, just cuddled up in the, you know, front door and windows. And, I mean, it's just amazing.
Yep.
Well, so you're saying you hit the ground running?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. Well, there's a lot of those stories, a lot of promises I made to people I met, and I've kept a list, mm-hmm. and I'm just checking it twice.
Check them off.
Well, I'm just ticking them off because I am wasting my time and everybody else's time if I don't try and help improve and solve problems for the individuals in District 1 that elected me, mm-hmm. and even if they didn't elect me, and that's what I look forward to. I look forward to the person that calls me and says, "Hey, I got to tell you, I didn't vote for you either time."
Mm.
Here's a problem, and I can't wait to help solve that. I'm excited for that opportunity, because that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where you get to actually, you know, prove. It's like, hey, there's no agenda.
Hmm.
You know?
So you've obviously also met a lot of new people.
Mm. Lots of new friends.
Just by being lots of new
yeah,
friends.
Lots
right?
of new friends.
Just by being candidate, all of a sudden you have lots of new
it's like
friends.
Winning the lottery.
Yeah. My favorite beginning.
You have family members you didn't even know.
Yeah. My favorite beginning to a conversation is, hey, I don't want to be that guy. It's like, oh, here it comes. I'm like, it's not even 9 o'clock. But it's good, because it's people that have just, you know, that they just literally just need help. And mostly, I would say 90% of the people aren't people I know. I've met through the campaign. I said, hey, here's my number. Reach out. And, you know, because I gave my number out freely.
Yeah.
Are you going to change your number now?
No, I'm not going to change my number. Like, and the county wants to, you know, here's your phone, here's your laptop. And so I'm going through the legalities of using my own laptop for county business. And I just like, hey, I have my own laptop. If it saves the county money, keep it, you know. But I mean, but that's
yeah,
just
but then not you a get certified. Hillary
I was going to say, like, don't become a Hillary and have your own servers.
And that's where, you know, the county attorney or Ruben Cruz or his staff, like, those are the conversations I'll go into. But this is about just, you know, not waiting around.
Sure.
Just getting to work, you know. And that's one thing I've been really impressed with Tim Garmin. I haven't had extensive conversations with him, but
well, he definitely hit the ground running.
He hit the ground running, you know, and he's out there. And I'm not saying other supervisors aren't doing the same thing, but, you know, Tim is obviously the newest elected supervisor that's there and working. So I've been able to pick his brain a little bit, and it's been good.
So what are you looking forward to most?
Christmas. No, I'm looking forward to...
That's the first sanctioned holiday for...
Yeah,
for government
and
workers.
it is Merry Christmas.
Yeah,
yeah. But for me, I'm looking forward to actually, like, just tomorrow, and then the next day will be the next day. I mean, for me, I'm looking forward to getting to work. I'm so tired of talking about it, you know.
So another thing that's obviously been a topic all around the country is how much money it takes to be a candidate. Right?
It's crazy.
So when you think of even here in Shasta County. Just the grand total of how much money was spent, let's say, between the primaries and this one, right? Just combined.
Yeah. It's astronomical.
That's a lot of money.
What's the biggest ticket item? Is it the signs? I mean, I just looked at all the signs and I think, oh my God. I know how much it costs to make those signs.
every candidate spends their money differently. Uh-huh. Some candidates spend money on parties. Some candidates spend money on signs. Some candidates spend money on radio ads. Mm-hmm. It really varies. I mean, for me, I spent a lot of mine on signs and media in terms of radio ads, TV ads, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. But it's all, you can go in and look at all the campaign finance reports and see where people spent their money, who had money.
But you
left.
Can basically buy a house, right?
Oh, well, depends.
Almost
depends at what year and what time. But yeah, I mean the supervisor races was well over $400,000 to $500,000 between the primary and the general. And that's just districts 1 and 5
per candidate.
Per candidate? No. Combined.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I mean, I believe out of the candidates, I believe my opponent raised the most. I think Chris Kellstrom raised the second most. Uh-huh. I think I was third, and Barron was just right behind me. I believe.
And that's why you see all the fundraising, because you're trying to fund your campaign.
So was that new to you, calling people and asking for money?
Yeah, that was the hardest part, but in some ways it was the easiest because I called people that I've known. I mean, I probably did have some of the most max donations because I had childhood friends, people I grew up with, coached their kids, and I said, look, like, do you want to run for an office? No, heck no. Okay, well, I am, so I need you to help pay for my campaign because if you don't want to run, then I'll do it.
Yeah.
And here's why I'm running, and here's why I need your support. And that worked really, really well.
Yeah, well.
Because
that's a good approach.
And I'll tell you what, I have so much respect for the entities that put up a sign in their storefront, who said, hey, I'm going to put, and it might not even have been my sign. I mean, there were people for city council races that they had signs up in their window, and I went there, even though they were supporting a candidate that I was not going to vote for. But I went in intentionally, spent money, and said, hey, I appreciate the fact that you put the sign up in your window.
Yeah,
they're like, really? They're great. So I'm not voting for them. Yeah. but I can appreciate the fact that you're involved, you're engaged.
Yeah,
because I think it's important. I think now we live in such a culture where you can, you know, be online and write what you want with no accountability. And I think it's important people stand up and make it known in a very respectful, you know, we can get along way to say, look, this is what I believe, but we don't have to, like, hate each other. We can just agree to disagree. And some people don't like that saying, but I mean, and I've said it throughout my campaign.
Oh, there's many cliches.
Yeah, we don't have to agree.
True. I mean, stereotypes, cliches, all those things have some foot from where they came from, right? So, I mean,
Listen, James, it's the end of the first half hour. on Wednesday, November 30th. Yeah, I remembered. All right, we'll be right back.
Good show.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Thank you. That's very soothing. Oh, there we go. Good evening, and we're back. Nigel and James is off doing whatever he's doing. We have Kevin Cry with us, supervisor-elect, Shasta County District 1. Just finished his race, and you were triumphant by 90 votes.
90.
90?
Landslide.
Yeah. Out of how many? How many voted in District 1?
10,800 something. Yeah, I don't think it eclipsed 10,900. It was definitely under 11.
And how many doors did you knock on?
Oh, how many doors did I knock on? Between the primary and the general, I knocked on personally. Oh man, I want to say about 2,600. I think. I don't think I hit 3,000. Yeah. Because in the general, I stopped tracking and I just started focusing on certain streets in certain precincts, and so they might not have been in my app that I was using.
So did you enjoy going door to door? Was that nerve wracking?
Favorite part. Like I think every young person should. I mean, with my kids, I'm really really big on making sure young people are able to hear the word no, and they're able to overcome obstacles or objections, and they develop a little bit of thick skin. Now, I'm not saying I want my kids or every kid should go, you know, do Amway or go door to door sell on vacuum cleaners, but I do think you know, operating some idea that you call your own and then sharing that idea with people and having people say, yeah, that idea is terrible, or I hate that, or I hate you. I think that develops a young person's resolve to like see what they truly believe in. So I love knocking on doors. Knocking on doors was the best. I met the best people. I got scared by some of the biggest dogs.
I was going to say, how were the dogs?
Oh gosh. I could go through so many different, one example in the primary, there was ice on a driveway. Someone had watered their plants and this was like 8:30 in the morning. I was knocking on the door really, really early on a Saturday morning, and someone had watered their plants the night before. And
I was a good way to make friends.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, it was, but it was.
You were testing out the local medical system too.
Yeah, exactly. But because for me it was really, it was almost a sociology project of like knowing who and what areas were there, you know. And I learned in like senior heavy areas, like, you know, certain areas of panorama. I mean, people are like, lights are off, 7 o'clock. They're in bed.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're getting up, you know, eating breakfast at 3, having lunch at, like, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock, dinner at 4. You know, but sir, those are some of my best because I hit a rhythm of knowing when people were going to be home and understanding. And I had that. I had people say, like, man, it's late, like at 8:15 at night. I said, well, I know you're up because, you know, this is why. They're like, you're doing your homework. And it's like, well, I'm here to actually talk to you, not just convince you to vote for me.
You've been staking out your house for a
month. Yeah, well, but it's like at Home Alone. Yeah, no, but it's like knowing the people in District 1 and knowing, you know, because again, like I had zero name recognition. Like I've been in this community a long time, but I realized there's a lot of people that I knocked on their door in November. Like, oh, well, not many in November because the precinct I was in and the neighborhood I was in. The very, very last week, they were very politically in tune. But you go to some places in October, they had no idea who was running, none. Like, didn't know either candidate. So, you know I picked up some of those votes. Mm-hmm. So,
so that must have been also interesting. Then knocking on doors and people don't even know there's an election.
Probably. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean,
I'm serious.
Oh, no, I know.
Well, no, I mean, and I can't laugh about it because, you know, I was literally 13 months ago. I mean, there's voter scores. And, you know, and on a scale of 1 to 8, 1 is you're registered, you've never voted. 8 is you haven't missed an election since, like, you know, Eisenhower. I mean, it's just like you vote every primary, every general, every midterm, every major. So basically my voter score was a 5, like a 5.7. So that means I would vote every presidential election and maybe every other or I'd vote every major election, but the primaries maybe like 1 in 3 I would hit.
Mm.
And I'm not embarrassed by that.
That's good, actually. I didn't know there was such a thing, though. So I mean,
yeah. You're actually able to relate to those who weren't even paying attention.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and again, and people say, why'd you decide to run? Well, because someone didn't sign a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are you talking about? Well, no, seriously. Like, when I went and spoke October 19th of 21, I just was really curious why the board wouldn't sign a resolution to go join with San Joaquin County and Tom Patti and join with them to try and push back on the governor and push back on some of the mandates. I said, I don't understand. Explain that to me. And then, you know, I didn't get the answer I liked. So, all right, I'm going to run.
And so you were actually thinking about moving to Tennessee or Texas?
Murfreesboro. Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. And I just didn't feel like it was time. I mean, I driving back from the airport on this October 17th, it was kind of
birthday.
Sad. Yeah. Happy
divine
birthday that day. So October 17th, we're driving back from the airport. Said, okay, we're moving to Tennessee. Murfreesboro is where we're going to go. And then we said, let's go to the school walkout tomorrow. I went to that, and I've gone through this story a bunch of times. But the thing for me was like, okay, and that's what I want people to hear is like, if you don't like something, fix it. And mm-hmm. that's not even in government. That's if you don't like your job, like – you know, you hate the comfortability of your bed. It's like, you know, you're going to spend 8 hours on that thing probably, or maybe 5, but either way, every day, like if you don't like it, change it. Sleep on something different. Like don't get stuck in a rut and feel like you can't change it.
So a lot of people have left California.
And I'm going to bring some of them back.
And a lot of them have left Shasta County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Well, and I'm dead serious. I got a couple people that I've just told them, I said, just give it a year. Give it a year. Mm-hmm. You know, and then just, you know, my daughter is one of them. Like, she's senior in college. She's going to come home and finish this last semester online, which is a bummer because from a rugby standpoint, she's going to
– She can't play rugby online?
She can't play rugby online. She's going to not play the last half of her senior year.
Well, she could throw stuff around the house.
But part of it is –
Is there a team she could coach here?
No. But she was – pretty much saying that she's was not going to live here after college, and so now it's like I think I bought a year of grace with that. But I understand what's at stake. There's a lot of people's kids moving away, a lot of talent moving away from here, never to come back after college. And I want to get the people that go away to college that come back, and they're excited about the industries they're going to step into or the opportunities. Because there's a ton of opportunities. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you're in California or not. It is tough to start a business here,
mm-hmm.
but you know, this Shasta County is special.
Yeah,
really special.
So let me ask this question. So, obviously California is one of those states that has seemed to change significantly in trying to start a business, maintain a business. It's difficult, right? You know, Shasta County being a part of that, you know, I think that, you know, we have opportunities to do things differently up here. But one of the things that I find interesting is we're competing against states that are rolling out red carpets for businesses to leave California.
Florida is one of them.
Florida, Texas, Nevada. Yeah. I mean, there's a ton of them. Utah, Idaho, they're all doing it. What is it about, which I don't understand, what is it about Shasta County that we're not trying, or maybe we are and I'm just not aware of it, but I see things like Stillwater that's just sitting there empty still and all this investment. Is it?
Yep.
Well, but look at how long it's taken. If it's starting to move now, my Lord, why aren't we rolling out the carpet? Why aren't we giving people subsidies, land, utilities, getting clean manufacturing, something here that actually will help our base?
Do you notice what I'm noticing? That's James's second campaign speech.
Yeah.
No. He started off with the first one.
You're looking at place. I mean, I fought Elon and stuff. I mean, you think, okay, this is the richest man in the world. He's got billion-dollar factories milling everywhere. Those factories, they may be billions of dollars, but he's not paying for all of it.
A huge, massive
amount of that is coming from the states and places that he's going to because they're smart.
It's
and
called
they
gaming the system.
Yeah. They're giving subsidies.
You start to follow the money. Mm. You start to realize a great friend of mine told me, follow the money.
Yeah.
And that's, and
always.
Yeah. And so I'll just leave it at that. But one of the things I know that we have here in Shasta County, when you talk about Elon Musk, which just, I love that because, you know, he comes in and he's told what he can't do. And it's almost like defiantly, okay, if you say I can't do that, then that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Right.
So, you know, half his employees at Twitter are gone. And I'm not on Twitter, but I don't think it's crashed. I think it's still humming along. And I believe it's up.
Like, I've been following that one.
He just announced that they're 400 milliseconds faster response times to what all of you are doing on it.
Yeah.
Because they've upped the algorithm, right? And it's better. And they have had more people sign up.
And there's less employees.
Uh-huh.
I did see a tweet from one of the employees. I guess he gave an ultimatum last week. You know, you either work your butt off or you quit, right, whatever. And there was one software developer who tweeted. He said for X amount of years they'd have meetings about changing icons, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. And he says now, he says, he got to down 8 Red Bulls in one day and fix major code on Twitter, and he's like,
happy.
In heaven. Because he actually gets to work.
Well, right? there was a stat, I won't remember it offhand, but I talked about in one of the couple forums that we were able to do. And I believe it was, there was for every one administrator in the UC system, there were six or eight professors in 1985. That ratio today is 1-to-1. For every administrator, there's one professor. I mean, that is crazy.
Yeah, it's called death by committee.
That's death by committee, and that is just burdensome over government.
Do you think we have that here in Shasta County?
Oh, well.
Reading?
Yeah, well, I what I know is this. I know that that's a great question. So Nigel's got – I'm smiling because – what I've learned, and I can just speak to one department, one person I've spoken to, but what's great is people that have, I'll say it, like been bilking the system are all quitting. And there's people that are, because there's accountability coming in different, and this has been happening for a few months now with people saying, hey, like the, I'll just say it, like it takes a lot for me to like be impressed with someone in one meeting. But my meeting with Laura Birch today, I was like, wow, I wish I could just take office like now, like tomorrow. Like,
that's cool.
Oh, gosh. Like I'm stoked. I got to tell you. Like, so when you say, is it happening here in Shasta County? Like, I know that just for her department and some of the things that she's done, and this is stuff that I've kind of heard because I made it a point. I didn't want to meet really one person. The only The only department head I knew prior to this whole process was Paul Hellman. I trained his daughter years ago. Mm-hmm. So that was the only one. And there's been multiple times I could have called him and asked for, not favors, but saying, hey, I met someone that needs some help, but I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to make any employee feel that they're being, you know, pressured by a candidate. I didn't want to use that relationship. But so, of course, the minute I'm, you know, supervisor-elect, I'm calling the one individual that I'm really anxious to meet because I've heard so many good things about her work, and I'm just excited about it. I mean, mm-hmm. there's movement. It's positive. You're going to see Shasta County be cleaner, safer, more affordable, fast.
Well, we need to take a break, but when we get back, because one of the things that people were afraid of you is that you were going to axe people.
Yeah.
So we'll get right. We'll address that in a minute. We'll be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Thank you for that one. Good evening, Northern California. Last bit, Nigel and James. November 30th. It's cold. Might cut out. Last bit, we have here Kevin Cry with us, supervisor-elect, Shasta County District 1. Big Active. Bad mean Kevin. Are you going to be going through all the departments and firing everybody?
Yeah, no. Yeah, there is, and I don't know, there's so, I mean, I really try and stay off of social media in terms of, I mean, they don't call them chat rooms anymore, but off of different posts.
What do they call them?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, I want people to just really, truly take a chance, and when they meet me, like, just let's make it for face value. We sit down, we talk, and then you can make up your decision and make up your mind. But I've had a lot of individuals reach out that are really excited, and I'm excited about that because, like I said, I had purposefully not reached out, and a lot of them have actually said they've really appreciated that, and not just department heads, but other people and some have just reached out and said, "Hey, I voted for you. I'm reaching out to you as a constituent, not as a mm-hmm. not as an employee of the county, but I am an employee of the county. Here's sure. what I do.
I voted for you, and I'm reaching out to grab your feet and hold it to the fire."
Yeah, no. I think what people are going to see is the people that are doing like a rock star great job. We're gonna celebrate that. We're gonna make sure people know they're doing a great job.
That's a good approach.
And for people that are looking over their shoulder, well, you know. Why? Like, if you're doing the right thing, and you know, and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you have nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, if you're doing something and you're flying under the radar and it's really great stuff, I'm going to make sure we celebrate that
mm-hmm.
and we recognize that because people need to be caught doing things right.
I like that.
Yeah,
that would be a good shirt.
Yeah.
Got caught doing things right.
Oh, too late. And the time you said that, Nigel already has the domain.
I know.
Yeah, too late for that. Hold on. Give me 1 second. So now you're one of 5, right? Have any of the other 5 reached out to you at all or dropped in notes or anything?
Three of them have.
Or four, yep.
Yeah, I've met three of the four.
Do you think it's going to be an interesting team dynamic on there?
Every team's an interesting dynamic. Like, it doesn't matter if it's a family, if it's every day, every group of people have different outcomes. I mean, in sports, you know, you're having five individuals on a basketball court try and row in the same direction, run the same set, the same play they've always run, but one little wrinkle, one little defensive adjustment, now the whole play or the whole set breaks down, and everyone's got to read things differently. So,
isn't it funny how you can take so much of life and put a sports analogy to it?
Yeah, well, or a Monty Python analogy.
Yeah, they seem to work.
Yeah, well, or anything. Like, there's steps that have to be taken. Like, even building a house. Like, the electrical guy can't go in there until there's a foundation poured and everything else. So it's like something's got to go first. There's a step. There's a process. So for me, and working with the other four board members, I mean, it's going to be. I mean, I go into it with no preconceived notions, and people are going to say and believe what they want to believe, but time will tell. Mm-hmm. And I get to prove that, and that's my favorite part about this, or what I'm looking forward to the most, is just, like, you know, buckle up and watch, because I think people are going to be shocked at how I approach some things, and but the people that know me aren't going to be shocked, because I'm
part of politics too. There's always the behind the scenes, and you know, and that's the part to me is the transparency. Like, you know, a good person that's trying to do a good job, I feel like, has a responsibility of also sharing publicly where the shortstops are coming from, right? I mean, like, again, if you're doing your job and you're doing it right, there's no problems. But if you are a cause of a problem or potentially, you know, creating waves so that things can't get done, I feel like those individuals should be brought to light as well.
Yep.
Because, I mean, you have a responsibility. And if you're not taking care of your responsibility, even if you're one of five or whatever, you know, like, hello, like, here's the spotlight. You know, this is where our challenges are coming from.
So now that you're in and take office in January, I believe it is. So what are some of the first things that you would like to pursue in District 1?
The most important thing on January 3rd is making sure we're all getting along and we all understand that this is a new board. It's a new group working together for the first time. James is wearing some of his
coffee down. So
and of course, you know, for me, it's about really listening. It's about really listening to seeing where people are, where are the gaps, where are the things that are needed. And even just today, just the amount of meeting with Pat Minturn and then Laura Birch, just getting a chance to sit and listen to them. You know, as we talk about what we want to get done, because it's a group, but really for me, it's hiring that CEO. Like, that's what I'm probably most excited about, is getting an opportunity to work in that capacity, because I really believe we have to have that role filled by the right person. And the right person isn't just going to be a list of qualifications. It's going to be understanding really where our employees at the county are, what are the desires of the board, what are the biggest issues we're dealing with, and then who fits that. Like, we can't craft everything within our county and all the things we're dealing with to the person that's going to be here. It's the other way around. We have to have the right person that's coming in. I mean, if we have, again, I'll give you a sports one because we talked about sports.
Yeah, it works.
If you've got a really, really big, slow team, you're not going to recruit a head coach that wants to press man-to-man full court and shoot the three. I mean, you're gonna not do that. So you have to hire a coach that's gonna say, hey, we're gonna probably slow this down. We're gonna pound the ball inside. We're gonna get people in foul trouble. We're gonna milk the clock down. We're gonna keep the score low. That's the kind of coach you'd have to get.
Yeah, so, I have no idea what that's all about.
Oh, I do. I love it.
So
basketball kids.
So for me, once we get in there and listen and understand what's needed, we got to find that leader. And we're going to find him. I mean, or her.
Yeah.
This is Shasta County. Like, I'm unapologetic about the place we live in. Who wouldn't want to live here? Especially when we clean it up, we make it safer, we make our trails and parks ones that we can use all the time. Not because we have a reservation, but because it's just a park and it's open and it's clean and it's safe.
Yep.
And, you know,
Nigel created the motto for us through Explore Shasta County and California Adventure District is, and I never can remember it correctly, but we're always open.
Yeah, always open.
Yeah, yep. And for...
If it's just county, it's wild by nature.
Mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, and I think for us, and then just becoming more and more business friendly, making it where people want to move here, start a business, build a home, and cutting out as much red tape and bureaucracy as we can. I mean, why is it in Tehama County things can get built a lot of times, and like a third of the time they get built in Shasta County? I mean, we're separated by a creek. You know, help me understand that.
Yeah.
And I will. And if they say, hey, this is why, you know, Tehama County has all these structures falling down when there's strong winds, well, that makes sense then. But I haven't found that.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to see. That's what I want to understand.
Very good. Well, Red Bluff has some of the older buildings.
We were just there because my son got a ticket and he had to go do something. And we went, I don't know what building it was there, if it's their courthouse or whatever. But I'd never been there and I was completely blown away that it was there when I saw it. And I thought, wow, this is a really nice building.
You know, one other thing I'll say, though, that I'm also really excited about is working with the city governments like Shasta County's never seen before. Mm. Working with the city of Redding, Shasta Lake, Anderson. I've developed some relationships recently and then some I've had for years just because, again, a lot of us have lived in this community a long time, have grown up, people have run, new people in office, and I'm excited about that. I'm excited.
Well, and I think it's really needed. I mean, if with the step of Costco in that direction and that whole build-out, we are almost connecting everything. It's going to pretty soon, you're not going to know if you're in Anderson or Redding.
Yeah.
So we went to Costco for the first time the other day.
I'm sorry.
It's like walking into LAX or something.
My son went there, too.
You know.
He took my card because he still lives at home, so he's under my roof. And went to go, and I said, you know what, I think my membership needs to be renewed. So he went to the front, said, hey, I think my parents need me to renew this. And she said, oh, this isn't your card. He said, no, I live at home. This is my dad's. You can't use it. You can't shop here. And he was like, oh, well, can I renew it? She said, absolutely. She took his $150. And I'm like, so you can pay for my renewal, but you can't go in to use it.
Well, that was nice of you to renew it.
Yeah.
So. You know, Costco is still the only place in town where you can spend $200 on toilet paper, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or you can get a soda and a hot dog for like $1.50.
Yeah. Everybody goes for the chickens, too.
Yeah, the chicken. And they put it in the back, and it's a lost leader. But yet, I mean, I've gone in there to buy chicken and, you know, the pre-peeled shrimp. And I walk out with like
$400.
A hibachi.
Same with me every time. Yeah. Every time. And you go for the same thing. I go back there for the shrimp and the chicken.
Yeah.
And if you're lucky, check it out. It's amazing. But
I have snowshoes and a kayak.
If they don't sell the chickens, right, they bring them into the meat department. And they strip them, take out all the bones, and then they pack the meat, and then they
shrink wrap.
And then let me tell you what, that roasted chicken can be used for anything when you take it home, and it's amazing.
Pretty good. All right, as we get to an end here, so congratulations on...
Yes, congratulations. I'm really excited for you.
Hindsight, would you do it again?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's a good thing that you...
Because he knew he was going to win.
Well, the reason I would do it again is if I felt that deep that it was something I had to do. Absolutely. I mean, absolutely.
I'm so happy you didn't.
Is it sweeter that I won? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter. Like I was prepared because I worked hard for it. I had a great team. Mm. We you know, we executed some of the things that we wanted to, and at the end we won.
Yep.
And I'm proud of my team. I'm proud of everybody's efforts, and I'm, you know, I'm just thankful. So I would definitely do it again because Shasta County is worth it.
Yeah. Oh, good.
And if I didn't, I would just get to complain the rest of my life, and I'd be entitled to it because I ran for office.
Right?
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you both, and thank you for doing the show and having me on. My first radio interview.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It was brutal, mate. It was brutal. And at least we got to learn that James is going to be running for office next time.
Cause he might run for two offices. You know, yeah,
right. I mean, James is a little bit opinionated.
Yeah, oh, just a little.
About a few things.
A lot.
Yeah. But, this is, you guys, this platform is great, and thank you guys so much for having me on.
Absolutely.
My pleasure.
Okay.
What's going on? We have a couple minutes left.
We have one minute. 1 minute left.
Yeah. Anything great happening as far as, like, entertainment or things? We have tree lighting coming up, right?
And don't we have a Christmas parade? When is it?
That's coming, yeah. Can you imagine? I am leaving on Saturday or Friday to go up to Mount Shasta. I promised somebody that I'd do a movie for them.
it's supposed to snow. And I said, it's supposed to snow. And they're like, great, that'll be awesome outside. We'll be watching a movie in the snow.
Well, there's a marketing thing for you, movies in the snow.
Ugh.
There you go.
I know. Right. I might have to put on pants.
Yeah. Well, that would be the first.
I know.
See you next week.
Thank you.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.